Welcome to Focus Carolina, an exclusive program sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Provost Bob Lewin, and I'm excited to share this series of interviews with our Carolina faculty here on WCHL. At the UNC School of Law, Erica Wilson researches laws and policies that may affect educational equality for disadvantaged students. She is dedicated to ensuring all students have access to good schools.
Much of Professor Wilson's work stems back to Brown versus the Board of Education in 1954. It was this Supreme Court decision that allowed the federal government to mandate for the desegregation of America's public school system.
We like to say we're a nation of laws. The laws are only as good as the execution and commitment to following the laws. Brown was a Supreme Court decision, and so the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution and says what is permissible or not. And so it's really up to the states to decide whether or not they're going to comply with the rulings from the Supreme Court. In the case of Brown, many states decided that they just weren't going to. The primary way that the federal government got the states to comply eventually was to threaten to pull their funding. There were federal statutes passed that tied receiving funding from the federal government for schools to compliance with Brown versus Board of Education. That happened in around 1964, and that's why you had that huge time gap between Brown and 54 and when schools actually started to take meaningful steps to integrate. So the thing that drew me to this area is actually my own family background. My parents grew up in the South, and they went through high school in terms of their level of education, and they always pushed me to go to college and beyond. So I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college and certainly to go beyond and get postgraduate education. And so the idea of education as a transformative force in many people's lives, particularly I think for African-Americans like myself, who are the first really post-civil rights generation who had some of the same opportunities to get educations that maybe some of our parents and grandparents didn't have. And so I always like to tell the story that probably the reason I'm sitting here today is because when I was in high school, I transferred to a magnet school for math and science, and it was a much more rigorous experience, and it was tough. I mean, I struggled for a very long time through much of my high school career, I would say, but had it not been for that experience, I'm not sure that I would have completed college, to be honest, because just the ability to be exposed to a higher quality and caliber of education really gave me the tools that I needed to not just get into college, but to be successful when I got there. And so that personal experience made me think more about how do we open up better educational opportunities for all students, but particularly for students like myself who come from historically marginalized backgrounds, and what role does the law play in both, again, creating educational opportunities or restricting educational opportunities.
Professor Wilson's personal background led to the causes she pursued in law school.
So I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada, and so Las Vegas did not have schools that were segregated as a matter of law, but they were racially segregated. And there was litigation, and as part of the litigation, the state of Nevada agreed to what's called a federal court school desegregation order that required students like myself who lived in the predominantly African-American side of town to be bused to a predominantly white side of town. And so I always had some interest in why dynamics were what they were when it came to schools and race. And then when I got to law school, I would say, and I studied constitutional law, that was really the first time that I was introduced to Brown versus Board of Education and some of the cases that came after Brown. And so my own personal life started to make more sense once I understood what Brown was about and what cases that came after Brown said. And so particularly in the South, many school systems needed federal money to run and to run well. And so that was really the stick, so to speak, to get a lot of school systems, particularly in the South, to comply with Brown, the portions of the Civil Rights Act that gave the federal government the ability to withhold funding if they did not. Actually, even today, the most segregated, racially segregated schools are in the Northeast and Midwest. And many places there did not have segregation on the books as a matter of law, but as a matter of practice, they did, and many still do today. And so an important limitation of Brown was that it really only applied to school systems or states that had written in the law that students had to be separated.
Thank you for listening to Focus Carolina, sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. To hear more interviews, visit chapelboro.com and click on WCHL On Demand or visit unc.edu.